The following is a presentation of Remnant. I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To draw on your virtue, believe
it. Hi, this is Jerry Gotze, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayers that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
We're going to talk today about down to the felt. And we got another Sunday down left in our God's Big Gamble series. And, you know, we've talked about some of the stuff, but Jeremiah was right. I found this term. And down to the felt means you got nothing else. You got nothing left but felt. You don't have any chips. You don't have any money. You don't have any markers you can call in. You got nothing. You've got no hope. And going to be kind of a different kind of message today. Not a point-by-point message. We're just going to kind of a narrative. We're just going to run and see what God does. Here are the hashtags and the stuff. If you want to tweet the message today, we encourage you to do that. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your Twitter feed. We encourage you to do that. More than anything else, I encourage you to open your heart this morning and see what God has. Let's pray. God, you're so good. You're so powerful. And I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. And God, I thank you that you came. You came here. You didn't have to. But you did, and I'm so thankful you did. Open our hearts now to hear from you, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. They've called for a tax. Here's a shock. The government wants taxes. Nothing has really changed. In all these hundreds of years, nothing has really changed. So you got to go to your own town. You got to go to the town of your family's birthplace. You may not have even been born there, but that's where your family's from, so you got to go. Mary is expecting a child. Now, I remember when Lynette was carrying our first baby. It was right around this time, actually. He was born January 2nd, so it was right around this time. And every time she moved, I freaked out. Because I just knew that baby was going to be born, and my greatest fear was I was going to have to deliver it. Totally not down with that. Didn't have the tools, didn't have the expertise. I'd seen it done in movies. In the Lamaze class, and that was enough for me. I was like, no. Then when the delivery actually was going on, they had this like mirror thing, and the doctor kept saying, do you want to look in the mirror? No, really don't. Just stay right here by your head where I'm supposed to be. It's a good place for me to be, right up here, not down at the business end. I got no business down there. I'll just stay here. When the baby's out, you let me know, and I'll try to keep passing out between now and then. Verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. No room in the inn. I started thinking about what would life be like if Jesus had never come. So I want to kind of give you the top 10 differences in the world if there were no Christmas. Should have had you stay into a drum roll. Number 10, you would not receive generic cards in the mail from businesses or people you haven't spoken to in years. Number 9, we would never know that magic hats make snowmen come to life. Number 8, Santa would just be a strange fat man with poor fashion sense. Number 7, and this may not be a bad idea anyway, the fruitcake industry would completely collapse. You know, there is a theory that there's only like 5 or 6 fruitcakes in the whole world. and they just keep getting passed around from people to people. Nobody ever actually eats them. Number six, our otherwise boring, uneventful lives would have no stress at all. Number four, three words, no Christmas bonuses. Oh, I skipped one. Number four. Oh, I like number five. Eggnog would just be a slimy, high cholesterol beverage. Really, there wouldn't be any difference there anyway. Okay, number four, three words. I've messed up the whole list now. No Christmas bonuses. Number three, you'd have to spend your own money buying stuff that doesn't fit. Number two, we would never wonder if reindeer really know how to fly. The number one difference in the world, if there were no Christmas, Thanksgiving would be the only major holiday where you try to avoid your extended family. Seriously, though, I want you to watch this film clip because I think it kind of condenses everything we're talking about.
Mother.
Mother, what do you want?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Mother, listen, please help me. Something terrible's happened to me. I don't know what it is. Something's happened to everybody. Please let me come in and keep me here until I get over it.
Get over what? I don't take in strangers unless they're sent here by somebody I know.
What? Well, I know everybody you know. What, your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
Well, sure I do.
When'd you see him last?
Today, over at his house.
It's a lie. He's been in the insane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. And when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
I've heard of things like this. You've got me in some kind of a spell or something. Well, I'm going to get out of it. I'll get out of it. And I know how, too. The last man I talked to before all this stuff started happening to me was Martini.
You know where he lives?
Well, sure I know where he lives. He lives in Bailey Park.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park?
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses?
You weren't here to build them. Your brother, Harry Bailey, broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of nine.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life.
It's an amazing movie. If you haven't watched it, this is certainly the time of year to do it. He has all kinds of problems, and he just wishes he was never born. And I love how they just show all the dominoes that fall in if you had never been born. Harry Bailey died because his brother George wasn't there to save him. Consequently, all the men in the military transport died because Harry wasn't there to save him. Powerful. George Bailey, in this clip in the movie, is down to the felt. He's got nothing. No hope. Nothing to hold back. Nothing to look back for. Nothing to look forward to. He's gone. He's got nothing. I want you to imagine with me for the next little bit what it would be like if Jesus never came. What would the world be like? How would your life be different? I think quite a few ways. Our way of dating history would be completely different because everything in history is before Christ and after his death. You ever wonder what the calendar would look like? There wouldn't be any churches. You can argue that there wouldn't be a Bible because the purpose of the Old Testament is to look forward to Jesus' coming. Over and over again, the Israelites were looking forward to the Messiah. Without Jesus to look forward to, It would just be a history book full of the exploits of the Israeli people. We wouldn't have the love of a personal God. We've never heard of it. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because of that little baby that was born in a manger. And if you look closely at the baby born in the manger, you can see the shadow of a cross. And all through Jesus' life, that shadow of the cross was over him. Because without the cross, the birth in the manger doesn't mean anything. Those are the two bookends. We would never have heard that God loves us personally. In the Old Testament, it's always the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. It's never our God. And then Jesus comes along and he says, hey, when you pray, say this, say, our Father who's in heaven. He would say later, you can call God Abba Father, Daddy. That's the relationship that Jesus ushered in. And without him, we wouldn't know it. There'd be no Christmas, no gifts representing God's greatest gift. If you have to go to Walmart this week, you may not think that's a bad idea. No Christmas carols or hymns. Can you imagine a world without Jesus? What would winter be like? Winter without Christmas. Just be cold. Places like Green Bay where the snow, would you just be snow with nothing to look forward to? Oof. Even the time Jesus lived in would have been different. Without Jesus, Mary Magdalene would have died in her sin. Mary Magdalene, the one who loved Jesus, who took care of him, who was one of his followers, also a reformed prostitute. She would have died in that sin if it hadn't been for Jesus. Matthew would still be a tax collector and a traitor to his country. The Roman soldier whose life was changed at the cross of Jesus would just have continued on in his cruelty. Peter, James, and John wouldn't have done nothing more with their lives than fish for a living. They wouldn't have changed an entire world. The Apostle Paul would have just remained a cruel Pharisee, steeped in legalism, with a huge desire for justice at whatever cost. See, lives get changed because of Jesus. Over and over again, you see it. How Jesus touches lives. And even back then. People who needed healing during that time would still have been broken in body and spirit. Thanksgiving, Jeremiah spoke about the 10 lepers who were healed. They would still have had to walk through town, all 10 of them, ringing the bell. Unclean, unclean, don't come near me, don't touch me, I'm an outcast, you're not allowed to be near me, don't come near me, I'm unclean. There would have been no hope for them to be healed. The lame would have stayed lame. The blind would have remained in darkness. The deaf would still lived in silence and never heard their children call their name. Isn't that amazing? When you really break it down and start thinking about it, how different everybody's lives would have been because of what we celebrate today, the birth of Jesus. Without Jesus, we never would have heard these great words from John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Isn't that powerful? John 15, 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The one I love, John 10, 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know what I love about this verse? That comma. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, without Jesus, we would just have life. Because of Jesus, we can go to the other side of the comma. See, and a lot of us today, I mean, here we have all this opportunity, we're still living on the wrong side of the comma. We're still living on the side, we just got life. We get up, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we come home, we watch TV, we go to sleep, we do it all again the next day, and on Saturday and Sunday, we do something different. Nothing fulfilling, nothing exciting, nothing worth mentioning. We're just stuck in a rut. But Jesus said, I've come to take you on the other side of that comma. I've come to give you a life that's full, a life that's complete, a life that has joy, that has compassion, a life that is happy. A life that makes a difference. That's why we sing the songs we just sang this morning, the one about Emmanuel, God with us. Because that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. He was with us 2,000 years ago when he was born in the manger, and he's with us today. I love this idea that God is with us everywhere we go. And we get this idea that somehow we're all by ourselves, that nobody's on our side. One of our chief deputies at work is always telling me, God, see, nobody cares about you and me. He's half right. I'm not sure anybody cares. No, I'm just kidding. I tell him all the time, Chief, I think you got half right. I'm just not sure which half. You have a full life? One that is rewarding? One that when you lay your head down at night, you say, it's a day well spent. We have a God who cared enough to come for us. He showed us what he was like, and his name was love. Could you really know true love if Jesus had never come? I don't think so. Because love is really, we learn about agape love, that selfless love, and we all tie it back to the love that Jesus had when he died on the cross for us. True love. And here it is. And we know what true love is all about because we watch Jesus do it. We watch Jesus go to Zacchaeus, the guy who couldn't see over the crowd when Jesus was walking through, so he climbed up in a tree. Tax collector, he was crooked and he shafted people and he did all kinds of stuff. And Jesus walks up to the tree and says, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down, man. I'm coming to your house for lunch. I think Zacchaeus may have fallen out of the tree at that point. What? What? And it says that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house and had lunch, and Zacchaeus' life and the life of his entire family was changed. And he paid back. This is how you know, this is how you know he's really changed. He paid back all the stuff he cheated people out of. That's amazing. But his life was changed. Jesus loved Zacchaeus enough that even though he knew there'd be people in the background, oh, look at who he's hanging. Look at who he's eating lunch with. He's eating lunch with a traitor. He's eating lunch with this no good guy. Jesus said, you know what? I don't care what they say. Because I love this guy and his family. That's how we measure love. The love of Jesus, that selfless love. Showed love and compassion to the outcasts of the world. The lepers, the blind, the hurt, the people that society didn't have time for. We did a whole series here, and I really encourage you to check it out online, called Jesus in the Margins. And it was all about how Jesus came to the marginalized people in society. When he was born, who were the first people that knew? Shepherds. You couldn't get more marginalized than shepherds. They sat out in the hills and they just kind of did their thing. They stunk. Got nobody to talk to but sheep. I'm serious. People did not look at shepherds. It wasn't like a great job. You didn't think, oh, I really hope I can be a shepherd someday. No, that was like where you ended up, not where you started. That's like, I got nothing else to do. I guess I will be a shepherd. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. Without Jesus coming, Lazarus never would have gotten out of the tomb. Because Jesus came, it means our sins can be forgiven. I want you to think for a minute about the worst thing you've ever done. The thing that makes you most shameful. The thing that you would be horrified if anybody found out about. And don't sit there like, well, I don't have one of those, Jerry. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And if I know of it and you act like that, I'm going to start telling people. Do you know? Think about it. Think of the thing that causes you the most shame. The deepest, darkest moment of your life when you did something that you knew was absolutely wrong and you probably still don't feel like you can forgive yourself. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what that sin is, Jesus came so you can be forgiven. Now, if you're still carrying around that sin, that's a breath of good news to you. But imagine if you didn't have that hope. Look, man, I got things in my past I don't want anybody to ever find out about. And there's something incredible about knowing that I'm forgiven. That the person who knows me best and loves me most still loves me, no matter what I've done. And I'm not special. No matter what you've done, no matter how horrified you are, no matter how shameful you feel about it, God's offering to forgive you. And it all started when Jesus was born in that manger and brought to completion when he died on the cross for you. You may have walked in here without hope this morning. And things are totally different because of a little baby, because of Christmas. What if your guilt would never be gone? What if the condemnation was always hanging over your head? And all you had to hope for was that nobody would ever find out. Without Jesus being born, that's how your life would be. Like the sword of Damocles hanging over your head, and all you're doing is waiting for it to fall and slice you in half. But instead, you have a Savior who looks at you and says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. I love you. In fact, I love you so much that I died a shameful death for you. Now see, and we get all caught up in oh, well, he died for everybody. He did. But he died for you. See, don't get lost in the crowd. Because you're not lost in the crowd to Jesus. For God so loved the world. Last time I checked, you're part of it. Isn't that amazing? To think that in our most vulnerable times, in our times that we're hurting the most, we can know the freedom that Jesus' forgiveness brings. Now, you can be hard-hearted. You can be Joe Cool. Too tough. Walk out here, I don't need Jesus. You're just stupid then. There's no nice way to put it. You're just stupid. Why would you turn down a gift that changes your life. You think if somebody walked up and said, "Hey, Jerry, I've got a brand new Ferrari I want to give you." I'd say, "Well, you know, I got this Volkswagen. And, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's got a nice look to it, but I don't really need a Ferrari. I'd take it and then sell it on eBay because I don't think I'd fit in a Ferrari to begin with, but hey, I would cover myself in butter and give it a try. I would have myself a special butter suit made. Just slide into that puppy. Pass by, people think, "Do I smell toast?" Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you do. Why would I turn down a gift like that? And that's just a car that's going to be, that I'm probably going to wrap around a pole the second time I drive it. That's just a car that's going to rust. That's a car that's going to last a few years and then be gone. But the gift of God is eternal life. It nobody can take it away from you. Somebody can steal my car. Nobody can steal God's love from you. Nobody can steal God's forgiveness from you. Nobody can steal God's compassion from you. Nobody can take away what God has done for you. It doesn't get any better than that. But if Jesus had never come, we would only have commandments to follow. We wouldn't have that personal relationship with God. We would just have rules. We would never hear John 3:16. I quoted a part of it a second ago. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We have, and let's be honest, Christians have done this. Our churches have done this. We've somehow cooked up this idea that God is a big blue meanie in heaven, you know, with a bucket full of lightning bolts next to his throne, and he can't wait for you to mess up. So I caught him! We preach God with, you know, this judgment, and he's gonna come and wipe you out, and he wants to stump your liver. And I've heard preachers preach about people going to hell like they were glad they were going. Truth be told, God loves you so much. He sent his only Son to die for you so that you wouldn't have to die. He had his Son pay the price for your sins so you wouldn't have to. I got two boys. And as mad as they make me sometimes, and as many times as I've plotted just scrapping them and starting over, there's no way on earth I'd give any of them for any of you. Sorry. Like, "Oh, Jerry, not even me?" No, not even you. Because I love them that much. And I know you guys. Can you imagine God sending his Son to die for a bunch of people? And a lot of them don't even care. That's the love God had. That's the love that Christmas is all about. If you get caught up in gifts and all this other happy stuff, and look, I love gifts. We were wrapping gifts. Well, we weren't. Lynette was wrapping gifts for the grandkids last night. My living room looks like a wrapping paper company exploded in the living room. Because the gifts, they're going to have to rent a U-Haul truck, I think, to take all the Christmas gifts back to Northern California. And I'm fine with that. But that's not what Christmas is all about. Those gifts are a small portion. They're a small way of saying, here's something that remembers a greater gift that was given to me. If Jesus had never come, we'd be missing a Savior. We wouldn't be able to talk about forgiveness and reconciliation to God. We'd only be able to talk about laws that had to be obeyed. Thou shalt not. We're good at those, aren't we? You better not. You ever do that to your kid? You better not do that. There are times I tell my kids, don't do that. And then you just kind of step back and say, okay, Lynette, you better go get the Band-Aids because this one's going to hurt. No talk of reconciliation, no talk of love, just rules. Grace wouldn't even be a word in our vocabulary. We would talk about justice, people getting what they deserved. Instead, we can talk about mercy, finding grace and peace through Christ. Think about what the world would feel like if there was no hope of heaven. Lynette and I were talking last night about my grandparents. Love my grandma and grandpa. Both have gone on to heaven. And it sounds almost sacrilegious to say this, because, and I know as a pastor I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to. You know, because the Sunday school answer is, well, the greatest thing about heaven will be seeing Jesus. And, you know, and it will. It's good. It's incredible. But I think the first people I want to see when I walk through those gates, Grandpa, Grandpa. Grandpa will have found a place to grow roses, I'm pretty sure. Grandma will be asking me what took so long. See, as a Christian, there's that hope. That one day we will be eternally restored. That one day those we've lost will be returned. There's hope. There's hope beyond the grave. See, if Jesus hadn't come, we couldn't talk about heaven. We wouldn't know anything about it, because it wouldn't be promised to us. And they talk about the pearly gates and the streets made of gold, the angels singing. Ah, okay, great. I'll check that out later. Where's Grandma and Grandpa? Where's Dwight Westover, my buddy? Where are the people that I know that have gone on before me? I'm going to meet the little baby we lost. Don't know him. Find out. I have hope. And without Jesus, I wouldn't. We would only have the reality of dissolving into nothingness. 1 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20 says, if the corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he is indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is, Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. One day, God's going to blow a trumpet. And he's going to say, okay, out of the pool, let's go. And I will happily go to heaven. If Jesus hadn't come, there wouldn't be a book of Revelation that talks about a returning Savior who's going to come for those of us who have died, for those who have died in Christ, or those of us who are living and remain. That hope that some of us are never going to see death. I personally think I want to be one of those. I'd just as soon not have to go through that. My family and people that I know have standing instructions that if I die in Imperial County, they're to drag me to San Diego Riverside, because I don't want the guys from the sheriff's office that were my buddies doing my autopsy. I just don't want them around me. Where I work, that's just, oh, yeah. Where I work, you get that whole weird look at things, you know. I Imagine if all we had to look forward to after we die was just turning into dirt. So much more. If Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't have any hope of hearing the words from Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. There'd be no hope of resurrection, not even the concept of one. There'd be no eternal life, nothing to anticipate except the closing of the coffin lid and the coldness of the grave. But because Jesus came, all of that's changed. Because of a little baby born in a manger who lived his life without sin, fully God, fully man, went to the cross, gave his life willingly. They say, oh, they took his life on the cross. They didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it up. He chose it. Because of all that, we live in joyful anticipation of what's to come. Christmas means that Christ has given us the gift of life in heaven. At this point, it's still wrapped. But it's under the tree and our name is on it. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Christ, you have been given the gift of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That one day, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to pass off this mortal coil. That's a fancy way of saying you're going to die. You're either going to die or Jesus is going to come back. And when that happens, you're going to be face to face with your Savior. That's the promise you have. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have that. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, you don't have that promise. Because as hard as it is to figure out, as hard as it is for me to comprehend, the only thing that is required of me is to say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. That's it. God, I want to accept you. If my son had to die for you, you think I wouldn't have a little more stipulations on that? You think I wouldn't, you know, there'd be a few more hoops to jump through? All right, fill out this application, and I want you, I need it in triplicate. And I'm going to need the title of your house, the title of your car, the title of your favorite song, all kinds of stuff. I want documentation that you're going to be worth the price I paid for it. And Jesus said, or God said, you know what? I'm just going to send Jesus and we'll fill in those blanks as we go. That's the power of Christmas. Because Jesus came, we know what God's like. We experience forgiveness for our sins and the transformation of our hearts and minds. See, because there are a lot of people that talk about giving their heart to God. But the book of Romans tells us that he'll transform our minds. He'll transform the way we think about things. In a good way. I remember seeing this tract one time. It was a little Bible pamphlet they handed out and it had a picture of this guy. He was long hair and a beard and he looked like a biker dude, you know, and it said, that was me before. Then you read a little thing, you open up, and inside is this dude in a white shirt and a little skinny black tie and Poindexter glasses. This is me after, and I'm thinking, I kind of liked you before better. You looked a little cooler to hang out with. And somehow we've got this idea that if we follow Christ, we're going to turn into these nerdlets. You know, we're going to walk around, you know, bless God, and, you know, hey, I wasn't that way before I came to Jesus. I'm not like that now. But I tell you what, before I came to Jesus, I was hurting. I was lost. I was a mess. I didn't have hope. I was down to the felt. I had nothing. But since Jesus came, and since I accepted him, my life is totally transformed. I told you earlier, I'm not special. It's all there available for you too. All you have to do is ask. So you really want to give a gift this Christmas? Give God you. It's what he really wants. You don't even have to wrap it. And you don't have to go to Walmart for it. Hallelujah. I am reaching
from the depths of my soul. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.